And we're back, reloaded. The latest edition of Renewed Thinking Pod, Renewed Thinking Podcast. And I'm Mike Charles. Welcome to the show, in conversation with my very special guest, Victor Snyders, the CEO of Skin Renewal, and a man who I really enjoy sitting down for a chinwag with. He's got some really interesting and really informed perspectives on a whole host of dynamic topics that are broadly applicable, I think, to anyone in the world of work doing business in this 21st century post-COVID world we find ourselves in. And that's kind of leading into the direction I think we're going to go with this latest episode, but we never really know. These things are quite organic and free-flowing. Victor, welcome back. It's great to have you back.
Thanks,
on the
Mike.
Couch.
As always, wonderful being here.
Man, and I really enjoy these chats. We think sometimes we're heading in one direction, and then we kind of meander and end up somewhere else. Quite interesting.
A little bit like life.
A microcosm. But I think, you know, we've touched on it in some of our previous episodes, the ripple effects, the aftershocks that we're still kind of living with, still feeling very much, COVID-19 pandemic, the lockdowns, and the way that the world was turned upside down, and when it turned back, it wasn't quite the same, and it might never be the same. Anyone who was running a business during those weird lockdown months, and it was global, I mean, we, not just here in South Africa where we're broadcasting from, but it absolutely rocked the world of business to its core and opened up this whole new way of operating, this Zoom culture, this remote working thing, and all of the fallout after things started to unlock again. You had the great resignation, which is still kind of happening, and then the kind of backlash from that. Man, I just want to find out how you managed to sail through, keep your head above water, and possibly see if we can learn some lessons from what COVID-19 taught you in your position as a business leader. So take us back to...
Well, if we're going to go back, let's really go back. Let's go back 100 years.
Okay.
Okay. Because if we go back 100 years, the world was ticking along after the First World War, and then in 1929 came the big stock market crash of 29, and that turned the world upside down. Yeah. And then the world recovered, and the next thing to hit was about 10, 12 years later, when the Second World War broke out, which had an impact for 5 years. And then after the Second World War, things generally stayed on track and progressing. There were conflicts in the world, there were things that happened, but there were no major disruptions. And so we move into the current century. And there was the financial crisis of 2008. And since then, it has felt like, as a planet and as a species, as though we're on a train which is just going faster and faster, and more things are hitting us. Maybe it's because of my age that the world feels as though it's going a little faster.
Like a runaway
train. Can't keep up. But the reality is that just because something was the way it was yesterday, it might be the same tomorrow, but there's a good chance that it won't be. Technological development, which we chatted about in our last podcast, climate change, politics, conflict, epidemics, pandemics. If it's not the avian flu, then it's COVID. If it's not COVID, then it's monkeypox. If it's not monkeypox, it's Ebola. There are constant crises. The world moves literally from one crisis to the next. So the reality is that anyone who approaches their business on the assumption that everything in the future is going to follow exactly the same pattern as the past is gambling. Well, it makes as much sense going to the casino and rolling that roulette wheel and saying, well, last time it landed on red, so this time it will probably land on black. Or if it landed on red last time, it will land on red again this time and every other time in the future. The reality is that roulette wheel is spinning all the time. And We have to be prepared for the unforeseen.
And this is the thing. And we know that when the big recent global shock, the COVID-19 moment, pulled the rug out from everyone and every business in every country, you either found a way to hold it all together while everything was falling down around you, or you lost your boots completely. So many businesses went under. They weren't able to adapt. There was no fallback solution, no precedent. There was just no adaptability, no resilience. And that's not necessarily any fault of theirs at that time. But now we are living in a kind of post-COVID world. And the lessons that were learnt, or that should have been learnt from that big shock, I think if you're in business today and if you're not putting some kind of business resilience plan together, then you are really in trouble. You're doomed to repeat.
Mike, it's quite difficult to prepare for the unknown.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the approaches we've used is, and we call it going back to first principles. So it's very much like bringing up kids. When you bring up kids, you try to instill a set of values and basic ways of functioning in that child in those formative years. That child is going to go through difficulties. They're going to fall in love. They're going to fall out of love. They're going to have accidents. They're going to have to deal with illnesses, with bereavements, challenges and difficulties in life. And it is fundamentally the character that was built in those early years that gives them the resilience to deal with that.
Mm.
In the same way, if we go back to one of our very first podcasts, the why, the who, the how, the what, all of those fundamental things about your business are the things that you really have to use as the anchors. And you need to keep focused on those, and they may change over time. So it's this process of continual self-introspection as a business. Are we in sync with what is happening in the world? Are we seeing the shifts and changes that are happening around us? And are we going with the current? If you've ever done whitewater rafting, you get one of the first things those guys tell you when you get on the boats is they say, let the water do the work. All you need to do is put your paddle in and steer a little to the left or a little to the right to avoid hitting the rocks. The water knows where it's going. It's going downriver. It's headed towards the sea. Let the water do the work.
Go with the flow.
Where our trouble comes is when we try and go against that flow. That's when your boat capsizes. So you have to know what that flow is, and that means staying in touch. It's been a very significant thing in our business in that instead of living in our own bubble, we try to see the world around us, whether it's at a metropolitan, regional, national, but even an international level. There was always a saying in finance that if New York sneezed, South Africa caught a cold.
Yeah.
Or Wall Street sneezed, South Africa caught a cold. The reality is, it's something that in Japanese culture is known as the butterfly effect. A butterfly flaps its wings in Japan and there's an earthquake in Chile. Okay? Are these things connected? Who knows? But in some way, everything that happens on the planet has a ripple effect. Some of those ripples only spread a few inches, but some of those ripples are tsunamis.
Yeah.
That go right across oceans. And we've seen it now. COVID, the logistics crunch.
Mm.
Now the world having to deal with inflation levels that it hasn't had to deal with in 40 years, where the last people who had to deal with inflation in many of the European countries and North America have passed on and are no longer economically active, and they don't know how to deal with inflation. How to cope with it. In South Africa, inflation for us is a way of life. When someone says, it's time for my annual price increase,
that's what happens.
Okay, annual price increase. How much is it this time? 6%? Is it 8%? Is it 10%? And we accept that inflation is a way of life. It's been the South African way for the last 40 years.
But so in every country.
If you've been sitting in the UK on a mortgage rate of 0.25% for the last 5-10 years, and suddenly your mortgage rate goes up to 5%, okay, which is a 50-fold increase on 0.25%, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So things are moving fast, and those effects of interest rates, of inflation rates in other countries, are only exacerbated in South Africa because of a weaker currency, because we also have to deal with the forex side of that. So it becomes more expensive. We're seeing the effects of the gig economy, where people, the entire concept of going to get a job and working at a job to support a family is not on the horizon of many millennials that are coming today, and they just simply work to survive when they want to work, and for the rest they will go through life in a particular way. There were no options when I was a kid. Now there are work from home jobs, there are gig jobs. I could become an Uber driver, I could become a Amazon delivery guy, I could operate freelance on the internet and never ever meet the people face to face that I'm doing work for. There are so many different ways of making a living.
Yeah.
I believe our educational system has huge structural problems, because what we are teaching people, there will be no jobs requiring those skills in 20 years' time. What we are not doing is teaching kids to think, which is really what we should be teaching them, but that critical thinking doesn't seem to be part of a syllabus. We're in an incredibly uncertain world. So what do you need to do? Number one, be very, very aware of what is happening around you. Mm. You know, we live in South Africa, and as you know, there's always the fear of getting hijacked or something happening at a traffic light. When you interview someone who's just been hijacked or caught at a traffic light, they invariably use the same words. They say, and they came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
No, they came out of somewhere. You just weren't aware of them. Okay, if you are aware of everything that is happening in your surroundings, you may have been able to avoid it.
Yeah.
That level of vigilance is required in business. You need to be acutely aware of everything that is happening within your industry, within your center, within your town. You need to be talking to your bankers. You need to be talking to competitors. You need to be talking to everyone about how things are going and understand which way the current is moving.
Yeah.
Because that gives you the opportunity to adjust and make small changes and keep going with the flow. And you don't have to turn your boat upside down. So it's really that. It means you've got to be able to make quick decisions. Where you've made mistakes, accept your mistakes, take it on the chin, cut out the mistake, take the loss.
But learn from it.
But learn from it. Mistakes are the best things that can happen in business, as long as you keep them small.
Yeah.
So it's that resilience to me is more about a mindset. And I think one of the greatest books that I've read on it is another book by one of my favorite authors, Simon Sinek, which is The Infinite Game.
Mm.
And in that book, Simon talks about there are two kinds of games in life. There's the finite game. A finite game has known players. It has a beginning, it has an end, and it has a set of rules. Whether it's rugby, cricket, snooker, whatever, that's how these games work.
But and they end.
And at the end of the game, there is a winner. And everyone who isn't the winner is essentially the loser. That's one kind of game. The other kind of game is the infinite game. The infinite game, we don't know who the players are. There are no rules. There is no beginning. And there is no end. The only objective is to keep playing.
That's life, right?
You may be in first place. You may be in third place. You may be in last place. But you're still playing. The moment you stop playing, you're out of the game. So, and what Simon Sinek teaches in the book is very much this ability to change your mind shift to one of being able to survive and keep playing no matter what the circumstances are, as opposed to this drive to be number one or to constantly win. Just keep playing. And that was the approach we used on COVID, exactly that. I don't know whether I've ever told you the story, but the night that the president announced we were going into lockdown, he said, 3 weeks, we're going to be in lockdown, and then things would get back to normal. And that was a shock, because suddenly for 3 weeks, there was zero income.
Yeah.
But it was 3 weeks, but we were stressed. And I said to Maureen that night, you know what, let's not make any rash decisions. It is evening, let's go and sleep, and let's talk about this in the morning. Maybe daylight brings a little bit of common sense. So we got together and over coffee in the morning, I said, okay, so summary. President has said 3 weeks. President is a politician. Most politicians lie. Therefore, 3 weeks is a lie. Do we agree? Yes. How long is it going to be? We don't know. Sound a bit like the infinite game here.
Yeah.
Okay. When is the end? We don't know. It could be 3 weeks. It could be 3 months. It could be 3 years. We don't know. Okay. What's the worst case scenario? Maureen said, well, we lose everything. I said, yeah. The business is gone. Okay.
Let's call a spade a spade.
We sink. Said, okay, so let's assume that's happened. What are we going to do? She said, well, we'll start again. Okay.
Bam.
Okay, so what do we need to start again? We need premises.
Wow, so you've already done the fear setting and moved, taken that as, okay, let's assume the worst.
It's accepted. We need premises. Now, when the world reopens, you know what? Lots of premises are going to be available.
There are opportunities that come out of chaos.
Correct. We'll need equipment. There'll be lots of second-hand equipment available because if we've gone bust, a lot of other people will have gone bust.
That's amazing.
Okay. What else do we need? We need staff. Okay. Now, the staff are the custodians of the relationships that we have with our clients and with our patients. We have an enormous amount invested because not only do they understand the jobs that they do, but they understand us. And it has taken, at that stage, 16 years to build up that skill set in those people.
Yeah.
We can't afford to be without staff if we're starting from scratch. So that is the resource we have to protect more than anything, because we'll find other premises, we'll find other equipment, we'll find somebody to lend us the money, but we'll need the people to run the business. So put our staff first. They were the single most important thing. Now, this wasn't purely an altruistic thing in case of look after the staff. It was a case of we will need those staff to rebuild our business if the worst comes to the worst. So let's look after them for as long as we possibly can.
But wasn't it Raymond Ackerman, this legendary South African founder of Pick and Pay, who said that doing good is good business? And, you know, as you said, you would need them, but they would need you as well. And you've already invested so much in these people. These are your people. When you talk it through like you've just explained it, of course, that has to be your number one priority. But I think it's a really interesting and refreshing thought exercise that you were able to do at that very early stage of the game and say, let's just assume the worst has already happened. Let's kind of take that as a foregone conclusion and let's start planning for day one after that. And then suddenly, okay, now you've actually got a bit of a game plan. And there's a bit of hope, and now you kind of plan for the worst, but hope for the best.
But that's exactly what it was. We had a plan for the worst case scenario. We hoped for a best case scenario, that it was only going to be 3 weeks. And in reality, it was 3 months, and we were somewhere between those two. What we did is we played absolute open cards with the staff. We told them exactly what was there. We told our landlords not to expect any money. We told our bankers not to expect any money. We told everyone on a contractual basis not to expect any money. And we told our staff how much money there was and how long it would last and what sacrifices needed to be made in order for that to last longer. And then we took it from the most senior position downwards. Myself and Maureen said, right, we don't need to earn anything for the next 3 months. Our COO said, I'm fine for 3 months. My most senior staff said, I can handle 2.5 months of no income. And so we went to the most vulnerable people who couldn't afford a day without income. And we reallocated the funds accordingly. We committed on every short payment to make good, either by way of repayment or equity in the new business when it had to start up from scratch again.
Wow.
So that they were, in essence, partners. And they were given that opportunity. As it turned out, every single person was repaid every short payment by August, and we were 5 months into COVID, and everybody had been settled and squared. But what it did was bring all the people in the company together because we had a common cause. Yeah. We were looking after each other. We were riding it out together. We didn't have 200 people all paddling in a different direction. Okay,
wow.
And we depended on the team. So it's very... Sometimes it's fortuitous that these things happen. But I read The Infinite Game the week before COVID took place.
Really?
Literally the week before. So that thinking was there. But I'd also been doing a talk within the company, which we called the Israel Talk, and was going back many centuries in history. And it was about Moses leading the tribe out of Egypt to the promised land. And I told the story as though we were there. And Moses being chased by Pharaoh after they'd been through all the plagues and the locusts and all the things that happened.
Were you Moses? Were you playing Moses?
No. I'm not Moses. But I sort of did it as a commentator who was commentating on the event.
All right.
And there they're rushing and suddenly they get to the Red Sea. And the tribe says, now we're trapped. And Moses says, don't worry, I got a plan. And he parts the sea and they all go and they all cheer. Moses is really smart and God's on our side and we're going to get across. And then they look behind and Pharaoh's guys are coming down the same channel that's been cleared in the sea.
Yeah.
And they say, we're in trouble, they're going to catch us. And Moses says, hang on, I got a plan. And the sea closes up and drowns all the troops and everybody cheers and is happy. And then we get to the other side. And they look around and they're in the desert. And they say, and now what? He says, well, they say, we're all going to starve. He says, nope, I'm going to lead you to the promised land. Yay, everyone's happy. How long is that going to take? 40 years. What? Hang on a sec. You know, I've got enough stuff here for a two-night hike, but 40 years. And Moses says, and I've got more news for you. We're not all going to make it. Okay? Because for all of us to get to the other side, we're going to have a plan. And X amount of cattle, oxen, food, chickens, everything we have, we're self-sustainable to this degree, but not all of us are going to come. So some of us are going to get left behind. And one guy says, leave the old people behind. But the old people have experience and skills. We'll need them. Okay. Leave the men behind. Let the women go. No, we'll need the men to protect the women from wild animals. Okay. Leave all the children behind. No, but then we don't have the next generation going forward. So we had to decide who goes on the journey and who not. Okay, now we're on the journey. And we're marching off across the desert. And as happens, people don't like these long, hard roads. And they start to complain. Okay. And this one starts coveting that one's wife.
Oh.
And this one starts telling lies about somebody else, bearing false witness. And this one starts worshipping another idol. And there's mayhem and there's dissent. And there are different political factions forming amongst the tribe. And Moses says, I've got to make a plan. And he goes up the mountain and he comes back and he says, guys, I've got news for you. I've just been given a set of instructions and these are the rules.
There's 10.
You've got to play by the rules. Now, if we want to get to the promised land, we'll get there together. If you want to go your own way, take your chances in the desert. You might make it on your own, but you may get eaten, you may die of dehydration and whatever. But if we are together and depending on each other and making this journey together, hopefully we can get to the promised land. Moses never got to the promised land. He died before they got there. Abram actually took them into the promised land. So this was a story I used to tell about how we need to work as a team. And it was fortuitous to be in the story I'd been telling in the year leading up to COVID. So maybe it was fate, maybe it was luck, but those concepts are really what got us through. I think the third thing that got us through is the willingness to change. We developed a concept in our company right from the beginning that the only constant ever in our business would be change, and that people must be prepared to change on a daily basis.
Wow.
Sometimes we change things just for the sake of change, just to ensure that people don't become too complacent or set in their ways or become stale.
That's so pretty radical.
It is radical, but what it meant is that when we needed to make the changes that COVID forced upon us, we were able to deal with it because change was our language, and the ability of doing it together as a team was our language. And in the process itself was not pleasant, but looking back on it, COVID is probably one of the best things that ever happened to our business.
Really?
In retrospect.
That is... I suppose like so many hard lessons that teach you... I mean, that those are the lessons that you learn the most from, those rough times. And if you... What did the great blues man Buddy Guy once say? If you ain't had the blues, well, just keep living. Because sooner or later, you'll hit some hard stuff. But wow, I got to say, this is shaping up to be my favorite episode of the podcast so far. There's gold in this one. And here we are now in the post-COVID world, and all of the stuff that you took away from that real crisis moment has fueled the growth and the resurgence of Skin Renewal 2.0.
Yeah, the business has flourished since COVID, and that's not to say everything has been easy. We're going through a tough period at the moment. I think in South Africa, we've had a lot of political challenges. We've had economic challenges that exist here. We're seeing a shift of population within South Africa. Worldwide influences politically. Wars in the Middle East, wars in Ukraine, all of these things are having an effect. International interest rates, inflation, all of these are a factor that makes trading at the moment particularly difficult and challenging. But they are things we have been through before, and we know how to adjust the sales for this particular weather. And we just stay very, very in touch with looking at what is likely to come ahead and what trends there are, and keep adjusting as you go. We let the water do the work. The world will go the way the world goes. We just got to make sure we go with it.
But I think that exercise that you outlined, that sort of worst case scenario, spell it out, look at it straight in the eye and imagine that it has come to pass, and then what? Where are we going? That's a really valuable exercise. I think any business could do it. And you can think in all of the different potential failure points of your biz, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's civil unrest, whether it's an electrical grid collapse or a cyber attack that makes you lose all your data. If you had to go down the thought exercise of imagining how that could play out, how that would affect you, and how could you come back from that, and then have an action plan for that, you'll be in a really resilient position.
If you remember back to that very first talk, if your why, if your fundamentals, if your base first principles are correct, why are we in business? Because we want to help people. We want to work with people and improve their lives. That is why we are in business. We need to make money so that we can do that. So even if the business goes away, you don't lose the why, because you can still help people.
Yeah.
Okay? You can comfort them. You can pat them on the back. You can commiserate. You can empathize. You can share a meal. You can still help people. And then you can start building up. You can't help as many people, but you can start with one person and then two people and then three people if your why is your motivator. But if your why was, I want to make lots of money, and then the money gets taken away.
That's not an infinite game. That game has ended.
Now you're exactly that. You've gone bankrupt and you're out of the monopoly, and the other guys can carry on playing without you.
Yeah.
So if your why is right, then you are able to be more resilient.
And therein lies the rub. And I think what an episode this has turned out to be. And you've been getting it fresh and tasty wherever you listen to good podcasts, vodcasts, and bits of thought-provoking entertainment like this. It's Renewed Thinking, the podcast brought to you by Skin Renewal. My name is Mike Charles. My special guest, the legendary Victor Snyders, and I do think this is my favorite episode. I got quite moved by the tales you were telling there, Victor. So, I'm looking forward to having at least one more chat with you. I know we initially had a kind of mini series 6-episode run planned, and we've just clocked episode 5. So here's to at least one more, and hopefully many more after that. But until next time. You keep your nose to the what do they say? Nose to the grindstone, ear to the ground, and I can't wait to pick your brain on another episode really soon. What do you say?
Great. Thanks very much, Mike. Fun as always.